Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Last Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, at this 5:30 hour, Central Standard Time here in the United States, for those of you that are listening, hey, why won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, Father, thank you, Lord, for everything. Everything that the promises of your word have enriched my life so fully to give. I thank you, Lord, for showing your greatness and your mighty hand to me and others as well. And for all that have been listening who can testify of the hand of the living God. Father, our heart rejoices in you, Lord God. You are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Dear Lord, you are the God of our strength, and we will trust in you. Lord, thank you for being our shield and horn of our salvation, our stronghold and our refuge. Thank you for being our Savior, Lord God. And this day, Lord, we want to gladly give thanks to you. Dear Lord, as we call upon your name, help us, Lord, to make your deeds known among the people. Father, we love this day to give you thanks, to give you glory and honor, for we know how good you are. Your wonderful mercy endures forever. Now, dear Lord, we praise you with all our hearts. We would tell, Lord, of your marvelous works. And, Lord, we're glad and we rejoice in you. And we thank you for the written word that you allow to be written for us to study. We will sing praises unto you, dear God. We bless your name. All that is within us, Lord God, blesses your holy name. And dear Lord, this day we will never forget all your benefits to us. You have forgiven us of our iniquities. You have healed us, Lord, of our diseases. You have redeemed our lives from destruction. You have crowned us with loving kindness, Lord, and tender mercies. You have satisfied our mouth with good things. You have renewed our youth. Thank you, Lord. As we go into your word today, I pray that by your spirit that you would touch the hearts of those that are listening, that, Lord God, that they may hear your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to give the word of God today. This is an hour broadcast, and it may last about this hour, and it may not, but I want to give to the glory of God. And I'm coming from the Bible today, and I'm going to come from two places. And the first place I want to come from, if you have your Bibles, is John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 21 to verse 23, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 17. But first of all, John chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 20, let's make it 24, and I will tell you why I'm starting off with this. Amen. The title of this message today is, Will Jesus Say of You That You Are Not Found? Will Jesus say of you that you are not found? The Lord dealt with me about this about a little over 3 hours ago. And he dealt with me on some things in dealing with this. Now, I want to start off with John chapter 4. And it says, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh. The hour cometh. when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, now keep that in mind, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the key thing I want you to see is verse 23. He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, keep that in mind. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to start from verse 11, and I'm going to verse 19. Luke chapter 17, I'm starting from verse 11 and going to verse 19. And the word of God says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now we know that anyone that was classified as a leper mean they had leprosy. We know leprosy was a bad skin infection. It was a bad disease where it ate your skin. It was very contagious, and it was chronic, like a chronic infection. But it was real bad. It was a disease, a sickness. And there was these lepers in the village where Jesus were. And the Bible says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they knew, quote, the right words to say. Not only did they call his name Jesus, but they called him Master. They knew the right words to say. And looking at this, they didn't mind. As the Bible said, they lifted up their voices, so they had to have a high volume in their voice to the point of even speaking loud. But it said they lifted up their voices. So that means that by it saying they came into a village, that means there were people living there. And so there, they didn't mind calling on Jesus in front of people for help, okay? For help, for a need, okay? Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 14, and when he, which is Jesus, saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, Jesus, first of all, he told them to go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, you know back in the Old Testament time that whenever you had a disease, you was put outside the camp. You couldn't be around other people. In fact, you couldn't even touch. Whatever you touch, if you touch, I just say, for example, a chair, no one else could touch that chair because it was looked at, you know, it's contagious now. Because you touched it, and you have to be out in the outside the camp for so long. And then, if it appeared like your sickness or that leprosy or whatever it is healed, you had to come and show yourself to the priest, so the priest could look at it and, you know, pronounce whether, you know, is healed or not. Okay. So Jesus told us to go show yourself to the priest. Now we notice here from this account, Jesus didn't lay hands on them. He didn't anoint them with oil. He didn't even say words like, thou art healed, you know. But I say that to say this, that when you read, let's say in the Bible alone, Jesus did not minister to everyone the same way in dealing with healing. okay? Some people he laid hands on. Some he spit on the ground, anointed their eyes. Others he spoke a word. But here he just said, go and show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Now, here's another thing we need to see on this. Some healings are immediately. Some are gradual. In this case, it was gradual because the Bible said as they went. Now, when he spoke to them first and said, go show yourself to the priest, that healing didn't manifest right then, but as they went, okay? And see, also, your healing is also not only based on your faith, but also your obedience, okay? Hallelujah. You know, for some, you may have a sickness in your body, and God may say, for example, I want you to go to so-and-so and tell them how much you love them. And you're saying to yourself, what do they have to do with this thing of this sickness? Well, he could be telling you that that sickness comes from bitterness within you or unforgiveness. So therefore, he may tell you, I want you to go tell them how much you love them and do this for them. You understand that? So they had to obey the Lord. Remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament who had leprosy. And remember he went to Elisha the prophet because he had heard about him. And he goes to Elisha, and Elisha goes tell him to what? Go dip yourself in the river Jordan 7 times. What did Naaman do? He got hot. He got mad. He's like, hey, there's Damascus. There's the other river. Why I got to go dip in it? And see, he was about to miss out on the blessing if it wasn't for his servant talking to him, letting him see how ridiculous he was looking. He said, hey, if he told you to do something else, would you have done it? See, Naaman was looking for Elisha to run out there and say, hey, this and that, thus says the Lord, and call that. But because he didn't do what Naaman thought he should have done and, displaying a certain act or way of doing, but simply just tell him to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times, it didn't register with him, and he thought, hey, what is this? What is this? Well, notice that these lepers here, here's one thing they didn't do that was good. Notice that when Jesus said, go show yourself unto the priest, they didn't say, what? For what? Because you went to show yourself to the priest when it appears that, after so many days, when it appears like maybe it is healed or something, go let the priest look at it. Well, see, notice that when Jesus spoke that to him, the healing didn't manifest right then. So they didn't argue and say, well, hey, what the use of going doing that? It ain't nothing change on us. But see what they had to do. They had to obey. And some of us have missed out on the healings because we won't simply obey God. There are some things that God is telling you to do, and you won't do it, even when we're dealing with other people because of what you feel about them and stuff like that, and you're hindering your healing, okay? You're hindering. And you're in the same condition, and now you're at the point thinking, God ain't hearing me or he ain't doing. No, he gave you a specific instruction. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you perhaps that are listening, that's one of the things going on with you now. He gave you specific instructions to do something. You have petitioned him for healing, and he said something specifically to you. And see, here's the thing, the other thing that, maybe bother you. What he says, you wondering, what do that got to do with my healing? So now you'll let that kind of thinking hinder you from obeying, and therefore you are in the same condition. But the 10 lepers didn't do that. And the Bible said as they went. So this healing was gradual. As they went, hallelujah, they were cleansed. So once again, the healing didn't manifest right then when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. But as they went, in other words, as they exercised what? Obedience. Okay, not sitting there trying to figure out what I need to go to the priest for, ain't nothing changed. But doing what he says, the healing manifests. Now, here's the thing. Verse 15. And one of them, Now, remember, it was 10. Bible said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, what did he do? He glorified God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Let's read that again. And one of them, one out of the 10. This is the end time word for the day, people. You got more, hallelujah. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, when he saw the manifestation, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. That means he didn't mind people hearing him giving God glory. Now, wait a minute. At the beginning of this story, the 10 lifted up their voice altogether when it came to petitioning God for a need. Hallelujah. They didn't mind people in the village hearing them. But when it came to giving God glory for the healing, only one lifted up his voice and didn't mind people hearing it. You got people today, all they are after is what they can get from God. You understand that? This man, hallelujah, was different. Verse 16 says, now he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. This is a sign of worship and submission and humility. Doing what? Giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know, the Samaritan at that time didn't, quote, have no dealings with the Jews. It was a separation thing there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he comes to give Jesus glory. Verse 17 said, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, he didn't just say, were there not 10? You got to look at that. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, in other words, he's saying, there was a success in the healing of all of you. Amen. Even though one came back to give him glory, showing the manifestation of the healing, Jesus is telling us in this question here that all 10 of them was healed. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? He did not make a statement to give you any impression that the only one that was cleansed was this one man, even though the Bible told you, said, and when he saw that he was healed. See, some would look at that and think, say, okay, well, maybe he's the only one. But then why would Jesus say when the other 10 cleansed? It didn't say the other 9 came back healed, but the healing was successful because Jesus said, was there not 10 cleansed? He said, but where are the 9? What is it? All 10 of y'all were cleansed, but where the other 9 at? Verse 18. He said, they are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Hallelujah. And he said unto him in verse 19, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Please hear this. Jesus said, there are not found that return to give glory to God. There are people out there. And maybe perhaps you're one that's listening, whom God have healed, removed things miraculously, healed you of sickness and diseases that were great and had you bound, did miraculous things in your life, but you didn't give him glory. There are people, and the question is, would Jesus say this of you? Who all about getting for God, but not giving God anything. Jesus said in verse 18 that this man came to give God something. You have people whose heart is all out to get from God. Yeah, they do a great talk about, yeah, I want to do a work for the Lord. I'm going to do this and that. It's a lot of talk because you don't see action behind it. You don't see too much action. You may see little action, but you don't see too much action. Okay. Hallelujah. Can talk about some great things that the Lord has done for them, but will not come and fully give them glory. Let me tell you something. This man was not worried about who was watching. You know, you got some people, they would, quote, glorify God or give him thanks when they are within the church building and around people they are familiar with. When it comes out to just anyone or out in the open, they're quiet as a mouse. These other nine was all about getting and not giving. Now, some may say, well, I'm doing this and that, but are you giving God your time? Are you giving him your time in missionary work? Are you giving him your time in studying the word? Are you giving him your time in worshiping? Now, remember, in John 4, we read, he said, the hour will come where the true worshipers shall come forth. You got people saying, I'm a worshiper of Christ, but they doing just like these lepers. They're getting from God, but they won't come back to give him glory. And worship, there is a prayer of worship, and then there's a overall worship where you are submitting your life given to the Lord. And you got many people who go to church and say things to you about what God has done for them, but they're not worshiping Jesus. They're not submitting their life to him. They're going on by their own lives. Some of them are seeking businesses and seeking money and seeking fame and seeking to live their own life in a comfortable manner. But when it comes to really submitting to being a worker for the Lord, really showing a life of worship, they're not to be found. Hallelujah. Glory. This man represents showing, and these other nine showing that there are going to be more who would not give God glory than them who are giving them glory. My God. What are you? Are you one that just looks to get from God than to give to God? Would it be said of you by Jesus that you are not to be found? See, Jesus said in John 4 that the hour going to come that the true, now notice he said in John 4, the true worshipers. See, there's a lot of people talking about they worship Christ, but you finna really see the true worshipers. This thing is going to be manifest some kind of real. Hallelujah. The true worshipers will obey God, and they will come to give him glory. The true worshipers are the ones that they don't just seek to get from God. They also think about, what can I give God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's what true worshipers do. True worshipers are balanced. They get and they give. You understand what I'm saying? Would you call someone who said they're a friend of yours a friend if all they did was come to you to get from you? But when it comes to giving to you, like if you was in the need or something like that, they're never around. They'd never come back and give anything. In fact, they spend more of their time dodging you, even though they know your situation, that you may need help, but they don't give you nothing. But whenever they're in trouble, they always coming to get from you. Would you call that person a true friend? Well, guess what? Jesus letting us know from his word the hour is going to come and it's going to show who he called true worshipers. The true worshipers will be able to testify of what Jesus done for them. But they also are going to be a people who is giving to Jesus. What can I give, Brother Nate? It's not about giving cars and houses. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with consecrating that unto the Lord for his use, but giving him glory and honor and your time, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The other nine didn't come back. They didn't come back to give him glory. Hallelujah. See, all they wanted was to get from God. And as I read to you in the beginning, that's why I made the remark when I read verse 13, they knew the right words to say. When they lift up their voice and say, Jesus, Master. And you got people in the church and claim to be of God, they know the quote, the right words to say. Hallelujah. The right words. Jesus had mercy on them. He blessed them, but look what else he showed. See, people be thinking they get no on God. You're not getting no on God. You might say, well, he still did it. But look what it's showing about you. You're being exposed. You're being shown. These other nine was being exposed. It showed us where their heart were. Their heart was not out for giving God glory. It wasn't out for worshiping Jesus, falling before his feet. That they wanted to get from him. They just, hey, Jesus, I just want you to heal me. That's all I want of you. Amen. Many of y'all, you went through where you know and felt people used you. Some of them came boldly and let you know all what they want from you. This is what I want from you. And when they got it, you didn't see them no more. Can I get an amen? But see, we're subject to be deceived. God is not subject to be deceived. You can never trick him. I don't care how hard you try, how many times you try, you can never trick him. He knows our heart. He knows when we just a big time talk. Oh Lord, I want to do this and that. Sometimes we just run a list down the front. Then we get finished running the list, we back to what? Doing what we want to do. These lepers lift up their voice. And remember, they was in the village. So people live in the village. So people had to have heard them. So when it came to petitioning Jesus, because see, this is a prayer petition, make a supplication. When it came to something that they needed, they didn't mind lifting up their voices unto God. But when it came time to worship and come back to give him praise and glory, they was not to be found. Amen. I've seen where people have had trouble going on in their lives. And you can go up to them and say, you know what, just worship God and give him the glory. They won't even hardly open their mouth. To them, that's just ludicrous. You tell them to do that. I want God to do something for me first while I can do that. That's the attitude that they have. And so they come to service hurt, sick, or whatever, and they lead the same way. And then some of them are some of the same people that blame a bad service or blame the pastor. Oh, I couldn't get nothing out of it. I just couldn't get into it. No, you couldn't get into it because you stayed in the wrong spirit. You would not worship Jesus. I've seen people get healed through praise and worship. They didn't have to have hands laid on them. They didn't have to have no one to speak a word to them. They praise and worship Jesus. And guess what? That sickness, that problem left. Because when you get into the presence of the Lord, we got to keep this in mind. When you get down to some good praise and worshiping God, whatever was troubling you won't go into that place with you. It can't. Understand that. Because it's not of God. It's just like you telling the devil, hey, let's go up to the third heaven and go up there toward the throne of God and worship him and see what happens. He can't stand there. He can't stand. So anything evil that's not of God, that is whether it's a sickness or disease or whatever is dealing with you, if you went into a true worship and prayed before God, it has to go. Now, some of y'all listening under the sound of my voice, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you were feeling so bad, but you pressed on. You got down there. When you start worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden, that thing that was bothering you and messing with you, all of a sudden, you know it just left. It left. Some of y'all have heard my testimony from the year, I think that was 2005, when I had what was called a sinus infection headache. I've never had a sinus infection headache in my life until that time. And before that time, I thought the worst headache ever was a migraine, because when I was growing up, I used to have multiples migraine. And many of y'all heard my story. So in 2005, see, one thing that when I had migraines, used to have migraines, one of the things about a migraine will hurt you for a long time, but at some point, you've been and took some and stuff all that, it'll wear off out of so many hours, and you are so wore out, you just go to sleep. Well, with a sinus infection headache, look, whatever you take, it don't matter. You might dip off to sleep for about 30 minutes, and you waking up still in pain. And sometimes you can't even sleep. Sometimes, I mean, during that time, and I had to go to work too, I got probably no more than for 4 days straight, 30 minutes of sleep a night. The whole day, 30 minutes. I couldn't, because the pain was so bad. And I didn't know what was going on. And I said, and I was praying. I said, Lord, what is this? My wife was up with me, walking around with me on the floor. We praying, rebuking. She walked. And man, this went on. And that fourth day, that night, it hit me again. But this time, I didn't even wake my wife up. Because I just felt like, to me, it wasn't no use. We just walking around. So that night, I was up by myself. That pain was hurting. And I remember I come from the bedroom, went through the living room, and I was heading to the kitchen in the house. And I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what this is. What is it? I'm repenting and all this stuff. And the Lord said something to me. He said, he gave me, he said, praise me. Now, this is what I was telling you about when I say that some of you are going through sickness, have had a sickness or disease and bothering you, and you pray to the Lord and ask for healing, and God says something that to you, it seemed like you saying, what they got to do with my, with this thing here? I'm looking at you and say, sickness be gone, or something like, but he tell me, he said, praise me. Now, think about it. You being in a bunch of pain, and the Lord said, praise me. And you like, how is I to praise you? I'm hurting real bad. So when he said it, I said, hallelujah. And I noticed that each time I said hallelujah, the pain hit me harder. Yes, people, it hit harder. You know, when I say hallelujah, it's like somebody punching you, and you said something, and they punch you again, but this lick is almost twice as painful than the one they hit you before. So when I say hallelujah, each time I say hallelujah, it's like the pain hit harder. And then, oh my God, I thank God for Jesus. And then after that, and I'm saying hallelujah, and the pain hit me hard, man, and I'm all of a sudden God brought this movie to me. Now, I want you to understand, he's not trying to get me wrapped up in movies, but it was a movie I saw a long time ago. I forgot the name of it. But it was about, one of the things it was about this man, he used to be in the army. And something went on where he had to be involved in dealing with, you know, the enemy from another country or whatever. And they had captured him. And when they had captured him, they put his hand in some kind of contraction where it squeezed your knuckles. See, they were trying to get secrets out of the enemy was. And they would squeeze his knuckle hard. You could tell, man, that thing was painful. And the man started bucking around, and he started singing, I think it was an American song. And the harder they squeezed, the more he started singing that song. I mean, he was shaking. And the Lord used that move to let me know, say, you're in the battle. He said, praise me. Fight it. You know, you have the victory. Praise me. Come stronger. And people, when I did that, hallelujah, that pain hit me hard. I came with more of a praise, and then I was singing a song of praise. And people, let me tell you something. When I did that, hallelujah, within a few minutes, I felt in my head literally like something popped, like poof. Man, let me tell you, the pain was gone. When I mean gone, like, it was like nothing never happened. And people, I stood in the floor. I'm going to be honest with you. I was so surprised. I said, oh, my God. I mean, it left like pain never was there. And I just went on continuing to praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And you got some people who are dealing with sickness and they won't even praise Jesus. This leper here, when he saw he was healed, he came back to give Jesus glory. Why? Because his heart, he had a balance in heart. He wasn't just a person that wanted to receive from Christ, but he was a person that wanted to also give to Christ. What are you? Will Jesus said of you that you are not found? You are not found to worship him? You are not found to give him glory? Oh, yes, I did these things for him or for her, but they are not found? When Jesus said the hour shall come where the true worshipers shall come forth, will he say of you that you are not found, that you are not found to be a true worshiper, that you are only someone that wants to get or receive from the hand of God, but not after the heart of God? Will it be say of you? Hallelujah. We know, you know on the real. Some of you say, well, I'm doing something. You know on the real when you can do more. Some of us are just throwing so much out there to Jesus, just a little out there. So can be said, we doing something. But you know in your heart you can do more. You hear me? Do you hear me? The hour going to come, Jesus said, where the true worshipers are going to come forth. Not just the talk, not the talkers. You got a bunch of talkers. They get up there, well, I worship you, Lord. Yeah, with mouth. He said, with your lips you honor me, but your heart is far from me. Hallelujah. This one leper that came back that was healed, he's a representation of someone who had a balanced heart. He was balanced at heart. Once again, he wasn't all just about getting from God, but he was also about giving to God. Have you been convicted? Does it bother you when you don't give God any of your time? If it don't bother you and you can make excuses, there's something wrong. You can do all the great speaking and great talking that you want to do, but something's wrong. That goes for any of us. Something is wrong. Hallelujah. He said the hour will come where the true worshipers will come forth. Some of us don't even pray. The only time, let's say we do pray, is like we do, like the other nine did, when we want something. Lord, give me this. Oh, Lord, I went there. I need this and I need that. Then what? This is the thing that we get off on. When we see God blesses us with it, we don't come back to give him nothing. And we think because he blessed us, oh, everything's okay. So what that I didn't come back to praise and worship him? So what that I did not come back to give myself more to him, give more time to him in studying and praying and even doing the work? So what? He still blessed me. And so now the devil's talking to you, making you think, look, you good. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. And you're going, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm okay. So now you're spending life just throwing nitbits at God, but expecting greater from God. And really what it's doing, it is showing that you're unbalanced at heart. Once again, will Jesus say of you that you are not found? Will he say that of you? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Will he say that of you? Like I said, the Lord was dealing with me about this, been over 3 hours ago, and dealing with me about how many of his people he have done for them, but they would not come back and worship him. not just giving a prayer of worship, that's a prayer of worship, but not really surrendering to him, giving their, devoting themselves to him. They won't do it. They want from him, but they don't want to give to him. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and God spoke unto him, that's when he said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I've called them to do. But the Bible says they ministered to the Lord. Amen. How much have you been ministering to the Lord? Or have you been ministering to the Lord? Hallelujah. There will be those that Jesus is going to say that they are not found. Is it going to be you? Hallelujah. Because we know you got a book of testimonies about what God done for you. But examine yourself. How much did you, you know, when he did that, did you devote yourself to him? Did you devote yourself to do more? Or did you devote anything? I mean, did you, you know, let's say you know you hadn't been active in the work. Have you devoted yourself to do? You know, seeing that God has done for you, you know. What about it? You know, hallelujah. It just, you know, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, where there not 10 cleansed, where is the 9? Where is the 9? Okay. He said, they are not found that return to give glory to God. Save this stranger. Hallelujah. At least this always, this is showing that you, for the most time, you're going to have someone in the crowd that wants to give God glory, and they're going to come back. Hallelujah. When he saw he was healed, he turned back. It didn't say anything about the other 9 trying to stop him. They went on, you know. They went on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said, when you had the leprosy and all that, and you was put outside the camp, you couldn't be with your family. You know. And some people, when they receive from God, they still go back to that which they have put over God. That's their main objective. Now, I'm a guy that believe in family. Don't get me wrong. I do. But I also believe that God gave us an order. And this is why he said he has to be number one. He has to be over family. You know, some of us, we want things from God because our agenda is not only for us, but it's about getting back with family. And we will be more centered on that than giving glory to God. So these men go, and they went on. And as far as we see, that the Bible doesn't even say nothing else about them besides what Jesus said, where's the 9? They didn't return to give him glory. Will Jesus say this of you, my friend? Will he say, you are not to be found? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There have been people who have said, the Lord brought me this way, and then they have left, or the Lord did this and they have left, and they have not come back to give him glory. When they said, the Lord did this and did that for me, they really didn't come back and give him glory like they should. This man not only came back, but he came to devote himself, the act of worship, when he fell down at the feet of Jesus and gave him thanks. Hallelujah. Some people don't want people to see them fall at the feet of Jesus to show true devotion to Christ. They don't want to show that to others. They don't want to show that to others. They want to get what they're going to get from God and just go on. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of God today. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for strength. And Lord God, we ask today, Lord God, that you would continue to bless your people far and near. Lord, look upon your people at this hour. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to deliver this message, to deliver your word this day. So, Father, I just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Don't forget, at the 7 o'clock hour, we have another broadcast. Our brother Eddie Lee will be with the full gospel message at 7 p.m. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.